Anyway, Candy said this morning, she said, do you have a title? And I said, no, I don't even know what I'm doing. No title, no notes. I think she said, do you have a title or notes? I said, no, because I don't know what I'm doing. Well, if you spend the time and you're in prayer and he won't talk to you about a service, then I've learned something. He's not ignoring you. If he won't give you any scriptures, and I'll run from Genesis to Revelation to see if there's any. If he won't give you any scripture, you don't come up with one. You don't start trying to make up something. He said, just follow me. Hallelujah. So I think we followed him so far, right? Trying very hard not to be demonstrative or in any way put on anything, but my heart is so full and so in intercession for Jesus meetings. And I feel like could I go someplace? And stay there until something was birthed. And we got a little snippet of it this morning. But I bet you're like me. You can't live. I hope that some of you are, and I believe a good bunch. We can't live without Jesus meetings. What do you say, Jesus meetings? I'm talking about him taking over. Completely taking over. The world, they've seen too much status quo church come in. Sit down. Praise and worship. High praise, high worship, great. You can't hardly distinguish the difference between a high impact show that you would go to and leave. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. Mahadeseki, what is it? Mandeheriti alo soto. Yes, sir. Mahaliheriyado. Close your eyes, if you would. Those that you're in streaming land, just close your eyes. If you will, you don't have to. I'm not going to put you under some kind of hypnotic. Trust me. I just seeing and hearing him. Yes, sir. To each of you, in your own little world, inside of your own mind and head. It's 11:25 Eastern time, Sunday, May 19th, I think, something like that. So you don't have to say anything, do anything, but just as you're sitting there, just run this Rolodex in your mind with me for just a moment. And the good part about it is nobody's seeing it except you, and then, of course, course, God. So what will you be doing at 12 or 1? What will you do? You don't know exactly, but what will you do in the next 2 hours? Fast forward it through the afternoon, because your brain can think that fast. And what you'd probably be doing at 4, 5, 6, all the way up to bedtime. Now, whatever time that is that you retired and went to bed, now you're sleeping. So now the alarm goes off, or you wake up like you normally do. And it's 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe some later, 9 o'clock, whatever it is. So whatever your normal morning, imagine that you're awakened. Now, what are you doing now? An hour after you're up. So what are you doing at 8 o'clock? What does that ring a bell? 9. Every day's a little different. Some days are a lot different, but usually around that time, 9, 10, 11. What do you usually do for lunch or not lunch? It's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. What are you normally doing on Mondays? Or if Mondays is kind of a snapshot of the rest of the week, Tuesday, but let's just say 2 o'clock on Monday, 3, 4, it's getting into evening, 5, 6, dinner time, or something close to it. Then what do you do for between that and bedtime? So now you spend a day and you're laying down. And we could start the next day and go through the next day. And I hope that you've thought about what your normal routine is. Kind of gave it a brief synopsis in your mind. I just want to get up one question. Just one question that means everything. And that gamut that you ran, what hour or what part of it do you remember if it was a normal day? What part of it did you build an altar and sacrifice your flesh on the altar? I mean, in simplicity, when I went through that gamut, what time did it catch your brain that you normally do your me and Jesus? Well, I leave too early. Well, get up an hour early. Well, I can't. Well, go to bed an hour earlier. Well, I pray on the way. That's good. That's wonderful. But where's your altar? Where in your daily life are you building an altar of sacrifice to Him? Did you go through that whole day? If you were honest, hopefully there was a moment, an hour of time, or 45 minutes, or at least a half hour. there was just nobody but you and Jesus. Nobody. Well, I'm going to do that. No. If that didn't interrupt your day, if that thought didn't interrupt you, that's who you are. That's who you are all the time. And that doesn't make you not born again, spirit-filled and loving God. But I can tell you this. Unless a great big bunch of us come to the place where we say, I'm going to build an altar in my life. And when I run through the gamut, bam, 5:30 sticks out. That's me and him time. 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, something. I built an altar, and it's unusual. It's unusual. It's not the norm. It's unusual if something interrupts that altar. I can't do it because why? Why? This is the call that we're on. This is the call. Without any embarrassment, there's no shamefacedness on my part to say God is asking of this, of you, to separate yourself and build an altar to sacrifice the flesh. Because we're not going to have what he wants. Would you like to come in here every Sunday and something to go beyond where we had it this morning? It's going to take far more than just a few of us. I hope that at 8 o'clock you had an altar built, or 9, or 6, or 5, or 4. The Ark of the Covenant, it was stolen by the Philistines in a battle. And they brought it in, and the Ark is a sign of, Gary's been teaching on, not the Ark, but has been using the Ark as the presence of God. But in Samuel's day, the Ark was stolen in a battle, and the Philistines took it, and they had it. They didn't know what to do with it. Diseases started coming on them. All kinds of curses started coming on them. They finally put it on a cart and sent it back to Israel. Like, we don't want nothing else to do with this. We don't want to. And they got it back, and it rested in a place for like 20 years. And then David went to get it. And you know the story. He tried to get it, and we won't go into all that. It's in 2 Samuel. They put it on a cart, and they were trying to bring it back to Jerusalem, and it started to teeter, and Uzzah put his hand on it, and the Lord struck him. Wasn't mad at him. He just wasn't supposed to be on a cart. It was supposed to be being carried by the Levites. And they just put it, they said, David, the Bible said David feared God that day, and he didn't know what to do. So the closest house was a man named Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, they just stuck it in his house. So we don't know what to do with it. Nobody wants to touch it. So the word says the ark was there for 3 months. And they came to David, because David's still wanting to bring it in and put it in David's tabernacle. The temple's not built. They want to put it in David's tabernacle. And they said, it's over at Obed-Edom's house. It's been there for 3 months. David knew where it's at. It said, And there's not a long story on it. I think it's three or four verses. But it said that Obed-Edom's house is prospering. It's being blessed. Everything about him is being blessed. Everything. Why? Because the ark was in his house. Now, if the ark is the presence of God, you've got to understand this. What you're trading for time, what you think is, I just absolutely cannot squeeze another. What you're trading for time is you're being deceived by yourself. It's not always the devil. It's self-induced a lot of times. What you don't understand, God bless you, is what you're trading off in time that you cannot spend that hour, or you can't spend that 30 minutes. I can't even say hello in 30 minutes to God. But that's okay wherever you're at. But if you understood that, like Obed-Edom, if you'd build an altar and the presence of God was the first thing that you attended to, if you, the Rolodex of your mind said, yep, can't catch me there, Pastor. Me and him's got something going on at 7 or 8 or 9 or usually during that time. Not, that's wonderful. But I'm talking about Jesus. It's me and you. Can you see me? I'm not called to be a pastor. Would you like to be Obed-Edom where the presence of God, it fertilized his fields? If his wife couldn't get pregnant, she came in and said, I'm pregnant with twins now. The last 3 months, I don't know how I know it, but all my servants are getting healed. Confusion's gone out of the home. Why? Because the ark's in the home. The presence is in the home. You can do it like this. You can live a legalistic, like, I'm going to legalistically do this and check off. Okay, I'm going to do my 5 minutes of confessions. That's my healing confession. My 10 minutes of prosperity. My 20 minutes or 10 minutes of emotion. That's good. But when you're in the ark, or when the ark's in your house, you still do this, but you don't do it through anything but presence. And when you build an altar and you say, okay, I'll bet you that the time that I'm trading right here is going to magnify itself out through the rest of my life. It's going to bless my business. It's going to bless my children. It's going to bless my kids or my wife. Everything I touch, God's going to be in it. And besides for that, it'll drive with me to church on Sunday, and I'll walk in with Obed-Edom anointing on me because I traded off. Glory to God. I don't know. I hope everybody in that little synopsis from Sunday night to Monday afternoon or Monday evening that you caught yourself saying, yeah, that's my usual time. But if not, for God's sake, for God's sake, don't leave here today. I'm not talking about a difference of heaven and hell. Folks, I don't try to, it's a little bit embarrassing, and I don't try to weep in front of you like that I'm in intercession to make you think, oh, he's really close to God. I'm at a point where You know, I don't know how to explain it. I'd rather die and just go to heaven than not have this outpouring. I want him more than anything else I've ever wanted. And I believe that many of you deep down feel the same way. But I'm saying to the rest of you that are great people, I mean just great people, you've got to find that place. You've got to find that place. And if you'll find that place, you'll find out, you'll say, my God, I made a little bit before. Since the ark's in my house, you say, well, the ark, I'm already born again. I'm talking about you spending time. I mean time. How you doing, Harry? Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. We worship you. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. Show us the way, Lord. Jesus, your obedience, really, all of your obedience, when I come out of the office, he was here already and many of you were worshiping. You brought that. But I'm asking you, he's asking you to go to another level. It's deliberate. Yes, sir. It's deliberate. How is he? Let me ask you this. Okay, you're born again. You're going to heaven. Okay? Even if you don't talk in tongues, you're going to heaven. Okay. But then you start, you get filled with the Spirit, and then you can talk in tongues anytime you want to. There's nothing in Scripture that says you can't. It's a gift. Pray in tongues as you will. Paul said, as I will, I'll pray in the Spirit. But you're born again, and you love God. But how is God going to invade your world and get power into your world, deliverance in your world, blessings, financial? How's he gonna cause you to come in and say, my God, I can see epiphany. I see everything now. I see how I can change this. How does God do that without deliberate invasions? You're not just gonna go as a Christian. Thank God you're born again, your spirit, but God has to have a path, which is your deliberateness to say, I'm going to build an altar, and that altar means time spent, and I'm sacrificing my flesh on this altar because my flesh says, I want to go do something. I want to go do something. I want to go do something. Hallelujah. But you'll get where you love being in his presence. And when you do, the more you do, you'll find out that he invades every part of your life. And whatever you sacrifice will be given back to you many times over. Hallelujah. Jesus. Makalese dia. Well, he came real strong this morning, didn't he? Healing, ministry, glory. Lead us a little bit more, Harry, and then we'll be out of here in a few minutes, but let's just worship just a little bit, closing out this service. Worship you, Jesus. just magnify him. Sit or stand, but just magnify him. Hallelujah.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy,
Jesus.
Holy. The Lamb,
Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, you are holy.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. We release your glory.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb.
Worship you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Holy Jesus.
Glory.
Are you
Hallelujah.
Lord
What a day, what an hour, what a time to be alive. Yes, sir. Tell them this, he said. Tell them. Okay, I will. When you hear these exhortations on coming apart, I'm soliciting these things from those who have ears to hear. You're close enough to come in. And I recognize your love for me. And I reciprocate to you these words that I'm already pleased with your love. You're my son, my daughter. And I'm getting over to you everything that I possibly can at this point through my pleasure. But know this, that I'm inviting you to a place that few have ever been able to enjoy. Not only a place of intimacy, a place of provision in my spirit where I come and catch you up and change you into a new man and into a new woman. The world is looking for answers. You'll have those answers. You'll be the ones that people will gravitate to and ask the question, what must I do to be saved? You're the answer, as my son was the answer. Now, you, through his grace, this amazing grace, you'll find you're their answer for the hour. So come apart. Build the altar in your heart. When you miss a day or two, don't condemn yourself, but bring forth a pattern of grace in your life. You'll be like a stream gathered together to create a mighty river in the days ahead. It'll be a torrent for this community, for those that are streaming, watching, wherever you're at. Rivers are being created. But he wants you to know he's pleased with where you're at. Take another step. Take one more step. Prove me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think we'll just rest tonight. This was so good. It's just one of those things where you feel so complete. Is that okay with you, Gay? Do we just rest? Jesus, if you have something to give, God will touch your life and wherever your community's at. You guys look like you got blessed. I need you to come up here and lay hands on me. Hallelujah. I used to fast, or I still fast, but I'd do those long fasts, and I'd look like a little anorexic boy. And I'd go over to the gym, and I was training with a guy, and the guy said, they'd all look at me, and they'd say, oh, my God, he's sick. He's got cancer or something. Because it'd be 40 pounds lighter. I'd go from 230 or 240 down to 198 or something. And they couldn't understand. I wouldn't say anything, but then they got go. They said, that man's he's a pastor, he's a preacher. And then the high school boys would come over, and in about 2 months, 3 months, I'd go right back in, and they just couldn't, they'd just stand there, and it would be like, how can he put 8 plates on there? How can he put 400 and something pounds on there and bench press it? I'd say, because I got the ark in the house. I spend time with him. And then whatever else I go out to do, he follows me. He goes before me. He blesses me physically. He blesses my bread, my water, all that I've put my hand to. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You just need to lift your hands and magnify him. You don't have to, because you need to play. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. Worthy. Do it one more time. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
You are holy.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah.
Are you Lord God?
We magnify you. Jesus. Glory.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb.
He's so worthy.
You are
holy. Yes, Jesus.
Yes, you are holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes. Hallelujah. Glad to have my dad back with us. He's been gone for a couple months. Been restored. Hallelujah. You know he's doing the good. He's got his cowboy boots and hat on. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. Be blessed. If you have something to give this morning, please, as you're going out, I think you can give, or going forward, you can give. God bless you all.